To remind us of coming events, appointments, celebrations, and remembrances. Now, whether it's the one we hang on the wall, the one we find in the computer, the one we carry around in our pocket, or perhaps it's that one that we wear on our wrist, it doesn't matter. Regardless of where the calendar is located, we depend on it to keep us structured and informed. Now we also know that there are quite a few holidays to consider. For instance, right now we are commemorating what is known as Memorial Day weekend. Now I can recall when this remembrance was assigned to just one day. But at some point in all of our wisdom, someone decided that, if possible, that a holiday should be assigned to a Monday, attaching itself to a weekend, allowing us to celebrate for 3 days rather than one. Now, regardless of why the decision was made to assign certain holidays to Mondays, we should never lose sight of the reason for the commemoration. Now, sometimes we add other connotations to the dates. For instance, we have decided that Memorial Day would be the beginning of summer vacation, with Labor Day announcing that vacation time is over. While we don't truly adhere to this reasoning at all times, I do have to admit that when Memorial Day rolls around, we find us consulting our calendars to determine the best time for our vacation. Now, there may be times when our vacation dates are to a degree dependent on other factors. For instance, if there are children involved, children to consider, vacations are planned around the school schedule, sports, and makeup dates. Adults usually plan around work or volunteer commitments to determine their leisure time. The thing is that each of us longs to step outside of that daily routine, to get away from our habits and our patterns. We like to think of this as a time of rest, a time when we can do what we say we want to do, or nothing at all. Sometimes our getaway dates include travel to meet up with that extended family. Now, I have to admit that sometimes that family reunion, it might be a little more stressful than restful, but it is family, and that is what counts. So we plan our escape. We go off for fun in the sun, maybe a hike in the mountain, the family gathering, or whatever else we decide to do. Now, I find it very interesting to hear the comments which people make when they return from their vacations. And yes, we do return. All of us eventually come home again. Now, one individual had packed so much activity in his time away that upon his return, he commented that he needed a vacation from his vacation. Another commented that his 3 weeks away, they were a little too long. After 2 weeks, he was ready to come back. Others said that the vacation was just what they had expected. But the logistics of travel had proven to be a little overwhelming at times. The plane was delayed, luggage was lost, etc. Now, I have to admit that I probably have made some of these comments myself. And I began to contemplate what is meant by the need to get away. Exactly what is it that we want to get away from? What are we doing to ourselves that we require an extra extended time for rest? Supposedly, we get a degree of rest every night when we go to bed. I mean, in sleep, we remove us from habits and patterns. When we first begin our study of truth, we discover that we live, move, and have being in consciousness. Now, consciousness is awareness, which means it is aware of something. So we ask the question, what do we entertain in consciousness? It is in this place that we think, reason, and contemplate. And sometimes we do battle, stressing over this or that, trying to find meaning and clarity. It is in consciousness that we judge and give power. It is in consciousness that we sometimes grow tired and weary. It would appear that we need a break from us. Now, most times in defending our need to escape, we can come up with reasons why we would like to do so, including a list of things that we would like to get away from. Mostly these are daily, repetitive activities. And while, yes, they are probably necessary, still, we grow weary of the constant practice. We say we want to get away from work, whatever that means. From mowing the lawn, from meetings, deadlines, and fighting the traffic. Now, all of these things are outside us, and many are beyond our control. And yes, I do understand that from time to time, we do need relief from these things. But the thought also occurred to me that when we do come back, when we return, these things will still be here, and we will be asked to once again address them, picking up where we left off, mowing the lawn and dealing with meetings, deadlines, and traffic. Before long, we may find us right back where we were before we escaped, in a state of restlessness and dissatisfaction. Now, it seems to me that we need a new view, really, a different attitude, one that allows us to go about our daily routine and not be annoyed by its repetition. You see, we're not going to get rid of a lot of these things out here, so it would be helpful if we could find a better way to meet them. Perhaps rather than a time away, what we really need is a time out. Now, I define a time out as something that can happen at any time, right where we happen to find us, no vacation necessary. At any time, we may pause and step outside of whatever we are doing or what we are thinking. While mowing the lawn, consciousness is free to entertain whatever it wants to, if we let it. We don't actually have to think while stuck in traffic. These moments are what we can claim as free time, not burdened by repetition or decision. This is the pause that refreshes, even if it's just for that one little moment. And when we pick back up again, perhaps we will be in a different frame of mind. Now, we get this idea of a timeout from parents. Parents give their children a timeout when they have acted out in some way. It usually means going to their rooms, no TV, no computers, and no texting with friends. The idea is that they are removed from the elements that allow them to act out. Perhaps they will discover the foolishness of their actions, or not. But it is worth a try. When we find us acting out because of patterns and habits, we may experience the equivalent of going to our room, no TV, no computers, and no texting with friends. Free of the elements that allow for distractions, we are left with our consciousness and nothing else. Now again, I talk about consciousness. Since all of our actions begin as an urging in consciousness, there may be times when we need a time out from the activity of consciousness. For some people, their vacation time was a disappointment because they did not realize that they carry their consciousness with them. And if they did not shut down their patterns and their habits, then they continue in the same old way, this time with different people and scenery, but the same old ritual and routine. They may have traveled 1,000 miles, but because they took their restless consciousness with them, they did not really get away from anything, and there was no rest for them. Now, I personally think that it is a state of restlessness that demands release from itself. In its purest form, restlessness is the unsatisfied longing of a man for God. Restlessness cannot be satisfied by a change of climate or environment, by travel, or by any other outward change. Only by a man finding his center in God can restlessness and discontentment be satisfied. In Psalm 107:9, we read, "For he satisfieth the longing soul, and the hungry soul he filleth with good." If it is the inner turmoil and the undisciplined mental activity that are driving us nuts, then a mere change of scenery, it will not correct it. What we really need is a mental earthquake, one that shakes up that mindless activity of changing one thought for another, one judgment for another, one stupid opinion for a dumber one. But you know, there's still hope for us. It is the activity of consciousness that leads us into green pastures and beside those still waters. And it is the activity of consciousness that takes the lesser road, that one of the slippery slope of uncertainty. I say this because, once again, consciousness is awareness, and it is aware of something. Since we are the ones who decide what to entertain in consciousness, then the blame or the credit is placed on us. We were given dominion over all of the earth and everything in it. We were given dominion over our thoughts, all of our deeds, and our actions. The state of restlessness is really a wonderful place to be, for it means that we are now ready to make a change, to step outside our established rituals, patterns, and beliefs. Now this brings us to our Bible verse of the week. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When we stop the activity of mental work, we cease our labor and personal effort. And in the absence of thought, we find us in the presence of God, and the hungry soul is satisfied. I continue with the verse. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, among the Aramaic people, the word yoke is a metaphor that refers to the burdens placed upon the people in the forms of taxes and levies. Just as the oxen's necks break under the weight of a heavy yoke, so too do the people feel crushed under the heavy taxes and levies. Now, this money was used to support the lifestyle of the ruler or the king at the moment. When a ruler lived a simpler life with fewer needs, then lighter was the burden of his subjects. However, if the ruler lived a more lavish lifestyle with several wives and palaces, then the burden was heavier and the people were oppressed and downtrodden. Jesus' invitation of "come unto me, for my burden is light" was a welcome temptation. While Jesus was not a king or a ruler, he offered a message of comfort and encouragement, asking others to join him on the spiritual path. Jesus did not live in palaces or in sacred shrines. He did not have a lifestyle that required maintenance and support from others. He spoke of a God of love, one that did not demand sacrifice or gifts from his followers. The people could approach God with a simple prayer. Men and women were to be freed from the heavy burdens of tradition, ritual dogma, and misleading teachings. There is but one teaching and one law, and God is the ruler over all. The gospel of the kingdom that Jesus revealed was easy and fast. His understanding of religion was quite simple. God is, and beside him, there is none else. Jesus asked for one thing from his followers, and that was that they practice his teaching and turn from evil. A true religion is not a harsh yoke, but it is a blessing. Perhaps our need to get away is really the need to get away from tradition, dogma, and misleading teachings about life and about us. Perhaps our need for rest is actually our desire to let go of all those burdens that we have carried with us from times past. So it's not so much a matter of us wanting to leave home for new scenery, but rather for us to live in a home that we never want to leave. Remembering our consciousness is where we live, which means that is our home. It is up to us to cultivate and nurture an awareness that satisfies the restless soul. And we do so not by physical might or by mental power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Said another way, the indwelling presence in us does the work. Its yoke is easy and its burden is light. The invitation is given, come unto me, enter into my kingdom, I will give you rest. In our human terminology, we might say that we want rest from something, from the daily grind, from the established rut or heavy burdens, whether of our own making or of others. But when we rest in the Lord, we are resting in something. We are abiding in a mind that is stayed on God. We are free of personal thought, personal opinion, and then we wait on the Lord. Now this time of waiting, it's not a time of idleness. No, we are alert, alive, and aware. We become the beholder. We stand back and we observe the activity of God do its work. When we live in our new home, that one that we never really want to leave, we discover a new family, one that is of the household of God. The children of this household are the ones who do the will of the Father, which art in heaven. Through the realization of the infinite invisible in us, we attain a freedom from the world. We lose a sense of attachment to any particular person, place, or thing. Now, this does not mean that we stop loving the members of our biological household or all of those relatives who attend the family reunion. It's just that now we do not depend or rely on them for anything, nor do we hold them in bondage to us or us to them. It is the identity of the I, of spiritual being, that we release our fellow man to the lessons of their individual journey. Let us not be the one who places burdens on the paths of others, making demands and having expectations. When we live according to our spiritual integrity, we do what Jesus asks us to do, that we practice his teaching and turn from evil. That is, to turn from belief in anything that is not of God. Jesus, through his teaching, encouraged people, and he gave them hope of everlasting joy and happiness. He came to serve and not be served. Jesus came as a light unto the world. Everyone needs the light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. A light that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The city is our consciousness, and the hill is our high consciousness. You see, our consciousness, regardless of what its state or condition might be, cannot be hidden. We are the children of God. Let us allow our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which art in heaven. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and know us as God knows us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In a time of meditation, we become still and quiet. And in the silence of the moment, the world melts away. We rest in the sanctuary of our own soul's awareness. Speak, Lord, I am listening. The Bible speaks of an indwelling presence. We are asked to turn to it, and we'll find it. To turn is to give attention, to be alert to the focus of our devotion. Revelation is given to the one with the receptive attitude and the open heart, the one that is willing to say God is, and beside him, there is none else. And then we listen. And in our listening, we hear marvelous things. I have prepared for you a table of spiritual refreshment. And there is an infinite storehouse of blessings just awaiting your acceptance. The message is given. All that I have is yours. So give no thought to your life, what ye shall eat or drink, or what ye shall put on. Let us choose this day to be mindful of the inner guidance. It is ours, and it knows just what to do. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.